ARVN.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Channel Final Bell here on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Chad Moyer. Today we are going to visit with Alan Brugler from Brugler Marketing and Management based here in Nebraska. Alan, thanks for joining us here today. Let's just take a quick gander at the grain settlements here. A wide range on the soybeans, actually ending 17 to almost 20 higher. Wheat futures ended in the positive territory, up about a dime or so, even more than that in Kansas City. And corn closed positive as well. Just give us some thoughts on you know, today's trade. Obviously, we had the WASD, but you know, how do you think how did the trade digest that information today?
Well, I think that we took it pretty well. We had the only real negative number that came out from USDA today was they bumped up the old crop wheat ending stocks, cut the exports a little bit, but wheat ended up double digits higher in Kansas City and Chicago. So that was a, sell the rumor, buy the fact kind of scenario. And then we got positive closes in beans and corn after we had a nice technical breakout on Thursday, got above those 18-day moving averages. So overall, it's a pretty positive day. It got helped a lot by the weaker U.S. dollar, I think. But, pretty good numbers.
Yeah, well, let's talk about it. We can maybe go commodity by commodity, and I want to start in the soy complex today because even after the WASD came out, it just seemed like the beans were reluctant to run higher, and then all of a sudden they just kind of took off. What was kind of that attitude? What were you watching with those beans and the wide range today?
Well, I think we saw a little initial profit taking ahead of the report just after what happened yesterday. That was mostly overnight action. They were kind of waiting to see what the meal and oil did. So on the meal side, USDA raised the meal output. You know, they didn't raise the crush, but they raised the meal output. So a little more efficient production there, but they also raised the meal exports to account for the extra tonnage. So the market kind of, once it figured that out, we ended up with May up $7. On the bean oil side, USDA cut the average cash price for the month, or for the year, by 2 cents a pound. Bean oil couldn't really do anything today. I am a little concerned on the bean oil side that we just can't get the renewable diesel market to absorb the bean oil at this price level. We're seeing the inclusion rate drop. They're using more fats and grease and not as much bean oil. Part of that has to do with the California subsidy level and the RIN values, but the bean world just kind of watched and let the beans carry the ball today.
Yeah, just kind of on that topic, is that worrisome for you? Because you know we've got a lot of infrastructure that I think a lot of that oil is going to be destined for that. Is that a story that's worth watching develop here this year?
Well, yeah, it's definitely a story, and the thing we have to remember is that bean oil doesn't work at 45 or 50 cents a pound without the subsidies, okay, without the virgin oil credits on the traditional biodiesel, without the California CARB credits. SAF is a big demand factor for both ethanol and bean oil going forward, but as we know, EPA is going to revise those GREET standards, and they kind of kicked that can down the road instead of announcing it the 1st of March like we originally expected. I think it's still a big growth market, but there's some uncertainties there, and maybe we've gotten a little ahead of ourselves on how fast that's going to absorb soybeans here in the U.S.
Okay. All right, let's shift gears, talk a little bit about the small grains. Kansas City wheat up 13 to 14. Chicago was up 6 to 10. And spring wheat up 7 cents at the settlements. Was there anything big in for the wheat to try and encompass with the WASD, or what was going on with the small grains today?
We had another Chinese cancellation this morning of SRW. That's two this week. We'd been hearing rumors last week that the merchants weren't able to originate enough SRW. They just, farmers wouldn't let go of it at this price level, even with basis pushes. And the price had dropped enough from where the Chinese originally bought it to make washing out those trades feasible. Not sure if those were cancellations on the buyer side or the seller side, but USDA confirmed that some of those sales were canceled. What that did was it boosted Kansas City versus Chicago because we've been spreading those two. We'd been buying Chicago and selling KC because of the fact we had the export business on the SRW side. With that kind of leaking out, then you were unwinding those spreads. You're buying KC and selling Chicago. So that accounts for the extra strength in KC today. As far as the by class numbers, USDA cut the SRW 10 million bushels on the export side, and they cut KC by 5. So that's how they accounted for the lost sales.
All right. Now, what about what's going on internationally with wheat? And, you know, I'm thinking about cheap Russian exports, Ukrainian production. I saw they even bumped up Australian production, I think, a little bit. World influences on the wheat right now?
Yeah, there's some of that. The Australian change was expected. We have some weather improvements there for the La Nina, El Nino situation. They got more rain earlier in the season than what they thought, and that helped the yield. So USDA about had to raise that at some point. We had Russia-Ukraine. I compare that to the old story about the blind men and the elephant, where each of them are seeing a different part of it or feeling a different part of it. Nobody sees the total picture. That's kind of the situation there. You still have some Ukrainian grain that's being sold as Russian and vice versa. Probably not vice versa, just that's the case. And USDA did bump up the Ukrainian exports for both corn and wheat today. So that's more of a function of being able to get the vessels through out of Odessa without getting them shot up by the Russians or the Houthis or anybody else.
Thank you so much. Again, that's Alan Brugler, Brugler Marketing and Management, and we will be back with the second half of the Channel Final Bell. We'll talk about corn and livestock futures, round out the trading week. That's coming up next here on the Rural Radio Network.
When you're a farmer, tomorrow always brings a new challenge. Unexpected weather, invasive pests, volatile markets, the list goes on. But with the enhanced Channel Seed Brand's top-performing products, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can rise to meet them all. Channel Seed, let's rise to the challenge. And catch our new Channel Nebraska podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back to the Channel Final Bell here on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Chad Moyer. Once again with Alan Brugler from Brugler Marketing and Management. Alan, we haven't talked about corn yet. And again, kind of an interesting day's trade here today where we started lower. And again, corn kind of reluctant. But at the end of the day, here we are in positive territory, 2 or 3 cents. What was the influence in corn there, especially at the end of the session?
Well, we had some people initially trying to fade yesterday's rally. We had a technical breakout. We got some follow through yesterday. The question was, would it stay for the weekend, or would we take profits and sell off? And there was some sell off ahead of the USDA reports. Then we just kind of hung there, and ultimately decided, okay, we're not going to go back and break that old support now or old resistance now support. And so we ended up 2 or 3 higher. 2 higher in the May, 3 higher in the December. March, of course, is about ready to expire, and it's not doing much at all. But fundamentally, USDA's only change in the WASD on the U.S. side was they dropped the average cash price for the year by a nickel, and that's basically past history. It's the lower prices we saw in January and February. On the world side, they did tighten up the ending stocks a couple million tons, and so you could argue that's supportive for the May, June, July window.
All right. So I guess obviously this is not the end all, right? We continue to look for new information. So going into the second half of March, next week, second half of March, what are the things that could influence this grain trade one way or the other, do you think?
Well, two things. First of all, we do, of course, the big one is the planning intentions of grain stocks reports on the 28th and what USDA comes up with there. Those surveys are almost completed now. One reason they didn't change anything on the S&Ds today is because they're waiting on the grain stocks numbers to firm up the livestock use and the industrial use and so forth. So I think that's one factor that you have to consider. That's usually a very volatile report. The other thing we're watching here is on corn exports specifically, Brazil seems to have washed out finally their big production from their winter crop, which is our July period. June, July. They had a record corn crop last year. The exports have finally dropped back to long-term average levels, and that's what that means is we're going to see a 3 to 5 million ton drop in Brazilian exports for the month over what they've been doing for the last 5 or 6 months. That creates a nice opportunity for the U.S. to make more export sales of corn into the world market. Argentina won't really have much coming out of the field, or at least hitting the ports until May. And conveniently, our prices are just coming, 20-some cents off of the low for the year. So, the U.S. is competitively priced on corn, and the world market should be needing to come to the U.S. for corn. We need those sales. We need to get those sales on the books to make the USDA numbers for the year. They didn't change them at all today because they're waiting to see. But I think it's very important. It does have some basis implications if the export program starts to pick up here. It's been better than a year ago, but not as good as 2 years ago. If it starts to pick up here, you'll see some basis improvement, or the board will have to come up. And in the latter case, the funds are big shorts, and chasing them out would add fuel to the fire.
Okay, so if there's an anticipation of some export business coming, if you would couple that with, the funds, if that report shows that they are covering some of their short positions, that does seem kind of like an opportunity to keep an eye on, huh?
Yeah. It's a little early to say we've got a bottom in corn, but you can see that the mechanism is there if it plays out right. And so what you want to see is some pickup in the export sales. Commitment traders this afternoon, you want to see that maybe there's a little short covering beginning here. What needs to happen next is you do need to see producers selling some grain into the rally, because that tends to feed the commercial paper that allows the funds to buy more. But don't want to be if in fact we just put in the winter spring low in corn. Those rallies typically are going to go into May or June, so you don't want to be too hasty on those cash sales either.
All right. Just quickly over on the livestock, feeder cattle down a buck and a half to 2.25, live cattle down just over $1. I guess the hogs were mixed today. What's your thoughts on rounding out the week in livestock?
Of course, the feeder cattle are somewhat affected by what happens in the corn and the meal side of things. So feed costs got a little higher today from that perspective. But cash market's still hanging in there pretty well. We're going to have very low finished cattle numbers when we get into the last half of April into May compared to the last 4 or 5 years. So the packers are going to be looking at some tighter numbers at the same time that beef demand usually picks up seasonally. Right now, we just see that as supportive.
Alan Brugler from Brugler Marketing and Management joining us on today's Channel Final Bell. A reminder, trading of commodity futures does involve a substantial risk of loss and might not be suitable for all investors. That is today's Channel Final Bell. It's brought to you by Channel and your local dealers. Here on the Rural Radio Network, Chad Moyer reporting.